All right, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Three Ideas in 30 Minutes, Parshas Vayikra. I want to thank our sponsor this evening, our dear friends, Dr. Michael and Marilyn Fedak, in gratitude for the many weekly learning opportunities at BRS. And we are very, very grateful to the Fedaks for their constant support, generosity, and sponsorship. Of course, as always, our learning is an aliyah for the neshama of Esther Tehila Bas Gavriel Pinchas. And Jason Asher, of course, takes the hot dog win once again. We have to give you a big trophy. You can display it with pride, and your wife can go around and tell everyone that you are...
Don't tell his wife.
You are the wiener winner. The wiener winner, Jason Asher.
Wow.
All right, here we go.
Wait till you see the trophy.
Idea number... I'm going to get him a trophy. All right, idea number one comes from Rav Sirotskin and Aznayim LaTorah. I happen to be flipping through the Sefer, and I came across this idea, and I think it's a very, very beautiful idea. I think all three ideas tonight are very beautiful. I'm prejudiced, though, because I did choose them. So here we go. Pasuk, of course, says, Vayikra el Moshe, that Hashem called to Moshe. This is probably one of the most analyzed psukim in all of the Torah, right? Why did Moshe Hashem call the Aleph, the small Aleph? There's so much to talk about. We just spoke about a Divrei Yisrael between Minchamarev, about the Aleph Zeira, the small Aleph. But here he asks, the Aznayim LaTorah asks a very fundamental question. Why did Hashem have to call Moshe? Lama chacha Moshe. Why did Moshe delay? Generally, if you have to call someone to do something, it's because they forgot to do that. So, of course, it never happens in my house. But let's say, in theory, one of my children does not do one of their chores. Perhaps it is taking out the garbage. So I will call to him or her and say, it is time to take out the garbage. And then I'm going to say, why do I need to remind you every single week? It's no secret. Garbage take out on Monday and Thursday. Set an alarm. You know what's going to happen. So why do you wait for the last second for me to call to you? That's essentially, again, theoretical, hypothetical. That is essentially the question of the Aznayim LaTorah. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu need to be called by Hashem? You would think that Moshe Rabbeinu would be so excited, so zealous, filled with alacrity that he finally built the Mishkan. He wants to run and do the Ratzon Hashem. So why is it Vayikra el Moshe? Why does Hashem have to call him? It almost appears like Moshe was delaying and Hashem had to call him. So he quotes here a Medrash Tanchuma, which I myself had never seen before, which I think is a really unbelievable Medrash. He says, the Medrash Tanchuma says, Hainu Shesavar Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu thought, Achareya Kamas HaMishkan, that after the Mishkan was already built, Shenigmar HaShlichuso, that he had done his job. Moshe Rabbeinu thought he could retire. After all, he had a pretty good resume at that point. He had taken the people out of Mitzrayim. He had split the sea. He had created water and meat falling down from the heavens at that point, right? He had done a lot of miracles. He built a Mishkan, a dwelling place for Hashem in this world. That was really the culmination, the Ramban tells us, of the entire story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So now that the Mishkan is built, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm hanging it up. It's time for me to retire. I've done shenigmar ashlichuso. I've done what Hashem has sent me to do. Shekimil Allah Bahar Elokim, because I received the Torah on our Sinai. Leficha kara oso Hashem. Therefore, Hashem had to call him, because Moshe Rabbeinu was ready to go into retirement. He was ready to cash out and go on his pension. All of a sudden, Hashem calls him up and says, not so fast. Chayecha sheli malacha gedola mikol ma she'asisa. He says, must be a letter missing there. He says, there is a malacha. I have a job. What was that? Sheyeshli, okay? Sheyeshli malacha gedola mikol ma she'asisa. Hashem says, no, I have the most important job is coming. This is like Bob Iger. Every time he tries to resign or retire from Disney, they bring him back. I think this week again, he tried one more time. We'll see how the new guy does. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm done. I'm hanging it up. Hashem says, no, I have a job that's even more important than anything you've done up until this point. Now, let's just pause here for a second. Again, let's review Moshe Rabbeinu's resume. Took him out of Mitzrayim, split the Red Sea, built the Mishkan. Hashem says, I have something that's more important. What is that? Yesh lecha lalamed es b'nei Yisrael, tuma v'tara, leharim ha'ech yeh makrivim b'nai korban lefanai. I want you to teach the Jewish people the laws of purity and impurity and how to bring a korban before me. That's the Medrash. Okay, so again, Moshe Rabbeinu was delaying. We want to know why was he delaying. We answered that perhaps he was delaying because he thought his job was done and he could retire. Hashem comes along and says, no, I have your most important job still to come, and that is teaching the Jewish people how to bring korbanos to Mentara. So asks the Aznayim LaTorah the most obvious question. The Medrash says, Malacha gedola mikol ma'ase asisa. The most important job you've ever done. Afilu mikriyas yamsuf. You're going to tell me that this is more important than kriyas yamsuf? Moshe Rabbeinu literally split a sea. Is there anything more impressive than that on a resume? So how could it be that teaching the Bnei Yisrael how to do tumah and tahara and to bring korbanos, how could you argue that that is more important or more impressive than splitting of the sea? Asma mea, he says, I don't understand how that could be. So what does he answer? He answers based on a pasuk. Amnam kein lamedes Bnei Yisrael la'alos bar Hashem v'lakum b'makom kadsho. We say in the Mizmor Shir, in the Song of the Day for Sunday, we say it as well when we return the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays and on Shabbos afternoon. We say the pasuk of Mi'ale b'har Hashem u'mi'akom b'makom kadsho. Who's going to climb the mountain and who's going to stand up on the top of the mountain? Says the Aznai in the Torah, those are two distinct skills. One is being able to climb the mountain. The other is being able to stay on top of the mountain. Climbing the mountain is the easy one, he says. Doing big, grandiose actions that are exciting, that's very easy. Splitting the sea is exciting. Receiving the Torah is exciting. These are momentous, historic occasions. And that's, so to speak, easy to do. Because when called into action for something that is momentous, every single one of us can do that. Anyone of us would do that. If Hashem called us and said, I need you to split the sea, we would all jump at the opportunity. Says the Aznai Torah, you know what's much more difficult than that? Not the splitting of the sea and not receiving the Torah, not these momentous occasions. It's much harder, the day-to-day grind of Judaism. Miyakom bimkom kacho. To stand up on the top. Climbing, you're in motion, it's easy, it's exciting. But when you get to the top and you got to stay on the top and you have to maintain the monotonous, robotic notion of everyday life, of coming to Minyan three times a day and learning every day and saying brachos every day and it's the same Shmoneh Esrei every over day, that's really hard to do. To find the enthusiasm in that, to find the newness in that, to maintain the excitement in that, that, he says, is very hard to do. And therefore, he says, Tok shmiras dine tumentara li dabek dibok ila, to stay connected to that high level, ayide korban b'mi sheshichen eshmo b'beis hamikdash kasha mikriyas yamsuf. He says staying at the top of the mountain is actually harder than splitting the sea, because splitting the sea, it is exciting, it is thunderous, it is mind blowing. Anyone would be excited by that, and so it's easy to do that. It's much harder, he says, to continue in the day-to-day grind of everyday Jewish life. You and I know that to be true. It's why we get excited for Yontif. We get excited for Yontif because it's exciting. Because whether it's Sukkot and you get to get on the Sukkot, or Pesach because you love the matzah, whatever it is, there's stuff to get excited for. You know what's much harder to get excited for? Getting up for Shul tomorrow morning. That's a lot harder to do. It's a lot harder because you do it over and over and over again. And there's less energy in that. There's less fulfillment in that. There's less excitement in that. And so it's much harder to stay on top of the mountain than it is to climb the mountain. And so therefore, says he has Naim LaTorah, now we understand what Hashem said. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, I'm done, I've retired, time to cash in, I'm going on my pension. Hashem says, no, I have another job for you. And this job, by the way, he says, is going to be a lot harder than anything you've done up until this point. Because until this point, you've been a miracle worker. It's really, I don't want to say easy, but like when you're the shaliach of Hashem, when the messenger of Hashem, I guess it's easy. You could imagine, you know, the thunderous applause Moshe received when he split the sea. You could imagine how much admiration and love Moshe received when he took them out of Mitzrayim, right? It's much harder to be the leader of the people day in and day out. That's not easy. That's not easy to keep it exciting for them, to keep it new for them, to keep them enthusiastic about them. And so he says, that's the pasuk. Mi'ale b'har Hashem. Climbing the mountain, that's one skill set. That's Yontif, that's Shabbos. Those are the kind of like the exciting parts of Judaism. Much more difficult is mi'akum b'mkom kadsho, is learning to stay on top of the mountain. That is much more difficult to do because that requires tenacity. That requires stick-to-itiveness. That requires discipline. That requires the ability to find newness in everyday mundane activities that we all know is something very, very hard to do. It's very hard. Tefillah davening is the easiest example because we say the same words three times a day, and it's very hard to do. right? Rosh Hashanah davening, when the chazan is saying the niggun that transports you back to your childhood. Oh, geschmack. Anyone can do that. It's very hard, a regular Tuesday afternoon, to say a mincha when your mind is racing all over the place and it's the same words you said the morning and you're just having difficulty finding connection. That is much more difficult. So the Vayikra El Hashem, again, remember our question, why did Hashem have to call to Moshe? Now we understand the background, because it was a whole conversation that took place between Moshe and Hashem. And so, starting a project, very easy. Starting a new habit, very easy. Starting a new goal, anyone can do it. Much more difficult is keeping with it consistently. That is a much harder part to do. And in some ways, it's more challenging, but perhaps more fulfilling when we're able to maintain that sense of newness and freshness and inspiration, even in the regular, everyday, mundane activities. That is idea number one from the Aznayim LaTorah, Rav Zalman Sarutzkin. Okay, idea number two. I'm calling it Ken's idea. Those are going to be our English ideas. Rav Amital. Rav Amital, of course, the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Har Tzion. And he writes the following, which, of course, I forgot to bring Chumash with me. He writes, if you look at the Rashi at the beginning, of the Parsha, so Rashi again comments on the word Vayikra as opposed to Vayikar. So Rashi points out that whereas in the Umos HaOlam, when it comes to Bilam and the nations of the world, it uses the word Vayikar without the Aleph, Vayikar from the Lashon of Mikra, which means like Hashem just happened on them. Vayikra is different. Vayikra is an expression of love. In other words, Hashem didn't just happen into a conversation with Moshe, that there was intentionality with the conversation between Moshe and Hashem because it was premised on love. The Kutzker Rebbe on the bottom left-hand side of page number two quotes the Medrash, and the Medrash here quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim, which says, for who is in the heavens can equal God, can compare to Hashem amongst the divine beings. Said Hashem, if I wanted a sacrifice, wouldn't I simply ask Michael, who is right here next to me, to offer a sacrifice? From who do I want a sacrifice? From the Jewish people. In other words, Hashem says, why did I give the Jewish people korbanos? Now, if you think about it, by the way, let's just take a step back, because we're about to read Parshas Vayikra. Okay? Korbanos are a very weird idea. Okay, if you think about it, like you're giving a gift to Hashem. So some people, you know, everyone likes their own kinds of gifts. You know, some people like their steak. I would like, you know, herring, nice bottle of wine. Everyone likes a gift. What's Hashem's gift? If you think about what the Beis HaMikdash was like on a day-to-day basis, there was blood all over the place. There was filleting meat and skinning them, right? I mean, it was animals were hanging upside down. You had cows and goats and sheep. You had all types of different animals being slaughtered. Again, for the Western sensitivities, it's going to take a little bit of an education for us to re-engage with the Beis HaMikdash. But that was the Beis HaMikdash. It's a very, like, strange idea to begin with. So Hashem says, you think I really need the korbanos? You think, like, that's what's giving me a geschmack, is watching someone, you know, slaughter an animal and then skin it in my temple? Hashem says, if all I wanted was the sacrifice, so I don't need a Beis HaMikdash, I need a Mishkan. What would I do? I'd go to Michael, I'd go to Raphael, I'd go to Gavriel, the angels that are around me, and I'd say, I want you guys to offer sacrifices. Rather, what does Hashem mean? Hashem says, I want it from you. I want the sacrifices from you. I could have it from angels. It could be perfect, but I want it from you guys. So why do I want it from you guys? So says Rav Amital, according to the Kutzker, this Medrash teaches us that Hashem desires not the sacrifice itself. It's not about the korban, but about the investment of the person bringing the offering. It's not just that we brought the korban, but it's that we invested ourselves in bringing the korban. If Hashem had really wanted the sacrifice themselves, he would have simply requested them from the angels in heaven. So it's the investment that we put into the korban, which actually gives the korban its sanctity and its meaning. Now look what Rav Amital does with this kutzker. He says, this too tells us something about the value of preparation. Preparation for the performance of a mitzvah bears profound significance, just as the preparation for prophecy is of utmost importance. A mitzvah loses much of its value when performed straight away with no prior emotional preparation. By preparing for a mitzvah beforehand, one identifies with it more profoundly and infuses it with greater value. Indeed, this rule applies even beyond the realm of specific mitzvah. Every spiritually meaningful experience requires preparation. Okay, so the more you prepare for something, the more holiness, and the more meaning, and the more significance you are going to find in it. I'll share with you, I won't say the name because I don't have permission to share this story, but I was talking to a Rosh Yeshiva a few months ago, and we were talking about drushas and shirim, and I asked him, I said, you know, at this point, like, are you able to just like, hey, you're a big Rosh Yeshiva, you're older, like, are you just able to, you know, prepare stuff quickly? So he said to me, he said, even if I could, I don't want to. He said, because I find that the longer I prepare for something, the more siyata d'shmaya I have, the more heavenly help I have in it, and the better it comes out because the more meaningful it is to me, right? So we can spit stuff out, we can perform mitzvos quickly, but we know that the more investment you put into the mitzvah, the better you're gonna feel about that mitzvah. And again, I'm sure each one of you in your own life right now is thinking of that mitzvah where you've had to work hard for it or you prepared really hard for it. Think about a bar mitzvah. Why does a bar mitzvah boy feel so great about it? Because they've spent a year every week, day in and day out, preparing for it. So when they get there, it's not just that they walked in and leaned to Parsha, but that there was like an investment, there was a sacrifice. They put their blood, sweat, and tears into it. So says Rami Tal, the more we prepare for a mitzvah, the more meaningful and significant it is. What is his example, of course, and you'll see why I'm bringing this, none other than Pesach. For example, he writes, the holiday of Pesach receives added significance from the intensive preparations in the preceding weeks. The halachic problem of chametz could be resolved without lengthy and involved cleaning process. In fact, this could be a debate in my house every single year. When I make the mistake, and you think I'd learn after 19 years of marriage, when I would go to my wife and say, what is the big deal? I could have the whole house cleaned in an hour. What takes you weeks? Marriage advice to the young kids here. Never say that. The answer is, I know how much hard work goes into it. Yes, dear, what can I do, right? So we know that an enormous amount of preparation goes into Pesach. But why do we need to turn the house upside down? If you could do it in an hour, why do the Nashim Tzidkaniyos of Klal Yisrael spend weeks and weeks and weeks? Let us not be so quick, however, dismiss this time-honored custom. The cleaning process forces us to engage in preparation for the festival, which contributes significantly to the emotional impact of the holiday itself. Expending all the effort cleaning results in a totally different Pesach experience. Now, I'm not going to rant, even though I could, and I think some people know where I'm going. I'm not going to rant. No matter where you're going to be for Pesach, some people are going to be here in Boca, and we're going to cook and clean and schwitz for the next week and a half. Some people, okay, they'll have other forms of preparation in Mesiras Nefesh as they prepare to get on an airplane and go to a destination for Pesach. Everyone in their own right. Here's what Rav Amital is saying. The more you prepare, the more you get out. That doesn't just apply to cleaning chevra. That applies to the Seder. It applies to Shabbos meals, Yontif meals. If you prepare for the Seder, not just vortlach that you're going to spit out that your kids are going to ignore and it's going to be a romper room. Think about how you're going to engage your family. Is there a game you can play? Are there questions that you could ask? Who's at the table? What are the different needs? The more you prepare for your Seder, the more you are going to get out of it. Preparation breeds sanctity, meaning, and significance. He writes here, Shabbos is the same way. Why do we have Mizmor Shir, right? Hayom Yom Rishon LaShabbos, Hayom Yom Shein, all week long. We're counting to Shabbos. The Gemara describes how the Rabbanim and the Tanaim and the Amoraim used to put away a piece of fish for Shabbos, a piece of meat for Shabbos. They were always anticipating Shabbos. Why? Because you and I both know that the more you were able to prepare for Shabbos, the more you get out of Shabbos. If you fall into Shabbos, which again, some people have to do, that's their work week, I'm not judging, but you can't compare qualitatively the experience of Shabbos if you properly prepare for Shabbos. By the way, coming to this year is preparing for Shabbos. Don't beat yourself up if you have to work until, you know, 7:14 tomorrow, whatever the case is, right? Coming to a shir Thursday night is a form of preparing for Shabbos. You now have Divrei Torah, questions for your Shabbos table. That's preparing for Shabbos. The more you prepare the Parsha, the more you prepare for what you want your Shabbos table to look like, the more you are going to get out of it. He quotes here, that's why in Judaism, you know, in secular world, you have engagement and marriage. Those are secular terms. In Judaism, we have the same thing. We have Erusin, we have an engagement period. He says, why was it so important? And back then, by the way, the engagement period was a year. Why was it so important that there was a preparatory step for marriage? He says, because if you want the Kedusha, if you want the holiness from something, you have to prepare for it. That's the engagement period. It's not just to pick out, you know, what dishes and what china you want, but it's to prepare. And the more you prepare for something, the more you're going to get out of it. He says, that's a problem with Pilegesh. A Pilegesh is something that just happens. He says that's a bad thing. There's nothing sanctified that comes out of something that just happens. The more you prepare, the more you are going to get out of it. He says there's one exception, and that is chesed. That is chesed. The Maharal points out that the reason why there's no bracha when we fulfill mitzvos, ben adam l'chavero, there's no bracha when I give tzedakah. Why not? Because a bracha is a form of preparation. When it comes to ben adam l'chavero, run to it. Just do it. Whenever you find it, don't even think about it. Just run to do chesed. But when it comes to Hashem, when it comes to Kedusha, the more we prepare, the more we are going to get out of it. So, Chevra, we are a week and a half away from Pesach. No matter where you'll be, and I'm all joking aside, whether you're going away for Pesach, whether you're staying for Pesach, whether you're cooking for Pesach, you're going to an in-law or a parent or a hotel, it doesn't matter. Every single one of us can right now, we have the time to be thinking through how we want to prepare for Pesach. For some people, it's going to be cooking and cleaning. That's their avoda. That's the way they prepare. That's the way they find meaning. For some people, it's going to be in preparing for a Seder. They're going to prepare the games and the shtick and the how to keep the kids awake. And that's theirs. For some people, it's going to be the Divrei Torah, and they're going to have piles and piles of Haggadah. Everyone's going to prepare differently. But everyone should be preparing. And the more you prepare, the more you're going to get out of it, the more Kedusha you are going to feel that night. The same applies to Shabbos. And therefore, the more we prepare for something, the more we are going to get out of it. That is idea number two. So again, idea number one was not just about climbing the mountain, but it was learning to stay on top of the mountain. Idea number two from Rav Amital, a week and a half from Pesach, is the power of preparation. Idea number three comes from the Divrei Yehoshua. Divrei Yehoshua writes, on the Pasuk Vayikra El Moshe, he says, Adam ki yakriv, that when a person's going to bring korbanos. And all the Mefarshim wonder, why do you use the word Adam? Torah has lots of words to use for a person. Also, the syntax of the pasuk is a little bit off, all the Mefarshim point out. But why specifically the word Adam? Right? It could be Ish, Anashim, I don't know, lots of different words. So Rashi quotes, Ma Adam Arishon lo hikriv mina gazel, that just as the word Adam is a reference back to Adam Arishon, and just as Adam Arishon didn't bring a stolen korban, so too you shouldn't bring a stolen korban. Oh, what a geschmack, Rashi. So says the Divrei Yehoshua, there's got to be something more going on here. That Rashi's just telling us that you can't bring a stolen korban. That doesn't make a good drusha for a rabbi on a Shabbos morning. So what does it mean? So he says, furthermore, anytime we talk about guzzle and shas, they learn it out from the pasuk mikem. That has to come from you, to the exclusion of something that belongs to someone else. So why does Rashi therefore learn this out here from the word Adam and not Adam ki yakriv mikem like we would in the rest of shas? So he says the following, I'll say it to you outside, and then we'll read it inside. He says, what this is really talking about is that just as Adam Arishon brought a korban that was truly his, our avodas Hashem, our service of Hashem, cannot be stolen, but it has to be authentic to who we are. If we copy someone else's service of Hashem, if we copy someone else's pathway to Hashem, you're a gazlan, you're a thief, you're stealing someone else's mode of connection to Hashem. And so if you, your heart, your drive is to chesed, but you look at someone else and you say, he's the guy in the base medrash all day, or you're robbing yourself of who you really are. Now, it doesn't mean you don't have to learn at all, but maybe your pathway to greatness is going to be through chesed. You're going to create Tomchei Shabbos, you're going to be volunteering. We all know people like that. And they're the most amazing Jews. Some of them can't sit still for more than 5 minutes. So for them to try to be Rav Schechter, it's not authentic to who they are. They're using their skills in the way that's authentic to them. Now, again, that doesn't mean they don't have to learn. All of us have an obligation to learn. All of an obligation to have Igisa Bo Yoma Malayla to become Talmid Chacham. We all have that obligation. But if you copy someone else, if you try to be someone else, he says you're a gazlan. Let's look inside the third line. He says, V'nira debala rameza shir kol echad yavod as Hashem as habori is baruchu kvi kocho, that everyone has to serve Hashem with his unique talents and with his unique skills. V'hainu bim yiras chavero ovid habor b'madrega gedola. Sometimes you see people that are quote unquote on a higher level than you. Ashiru inu od b'madrega zo, but I'm not at that level yet. V'yiratze gamu la'avod habori, and I want to serve Hashem at that level. Lo yasa kein, don't do that. Don't try to copy Rav Schechter. You're not Rav Schechter, right? You don't have the mind. Okay. We can aspire, but I don't feel guilty. I don't try to be like him, right? Lo yasekin, that's his words. Don't do that. Ki lo yuchal ligmor adavar. It's not going to stick. If it's not authentic to who you are, it is not going to stick. Adam lo hikriv min hagazel. And he says that's what it means, that a person should not bring from that which is stolen. Hainu ki lo haya az shum ish raku eved es habore v'hikriv es korbano kvi kocho. That again, when you bring the korban, which means you're bringing yourself to Hashem, you do it according to what makes you authentically you, what makes you real. Kvi kocho, according to your skills and your unique abilities. Kimi kain. Kena Adam Yakir is Korban Kvi Kocho. Kiabore Baruchu wrote him, he called Adam, because what does Hashem really run? Rak Kvi Kocho U Kvi Madre Gaso. Hashem wants you as you are. Hashem created you with your unique set of taivas, desires. Hashem created you with your unique challenges. Hashem knew exactly how you created you. And each one of us were created differently. And if we try to be like each other, we will fail miserably. We will be depressed and sad, and we're not going to find that Bren in Judaism. Why? Because it's not real. It's not true to who we are. We're not going to find the joy, the geshmak. And that doesn't mean if you say, I'm not a davener, therefore I don't have daven. Of course you have to daven. But we all know that all of us have certain atios. We're drawn to different parts of Judaism, even within learning. Some people are drawn to Musar. Some people are drawn to Chumash and Rashi. Some people love Gemara. Some people love Iyun. Some people love Bekiyas. Everyone gets a different love within the realm of Torah. So find that path. Don't try to copy someone else. Don't try to be someone who is not authentic to who you are. And so therefore he says, Adam Kiyakri. What does it mean? Adam Arishon brought a korban that wasn't stolen, and so too you too shouldn't bring a korban that wasn't stolen. What does that mean? So he says, Apia Drush. What it really means is don't try to be like someone else. Don't try to be inauthentic to who you really are, but rather serve Hashem in the way that feels the truest and most authentic to you instead of trying to copy other people. That is part of the challenge. Part of the challenge of the educational systems is that they are somewhat boxed in, right? In other words, you have to fit an educational mold. Sometimes, not every kid fits every educational mold, and it's hard for them to express themselves within both their Judaism, within their education, sometimes within their homes, because they're boxed into a way that is inauthentic to them. When we learn to find a way that connects most deeply and resonates most profoundly with us, that is when we're going to find the connection to Judaism that is going to be everlasting. If we try to put our children or grandchildren into a box, either because of our own ego, or of who we want them to be, or who we thought they would be, you're not going to be successful. That's the pasuk, Chanoch Lanar Alpidarko. That's what we're told, that each child's different. And we have to relate to each child different. That's the famous comment of Rav Hirsch on Yaakov and Esav. How did Yaakov end up one way and Esav ended up the other way? He says, because Yitzchak made a mistake. He tried to make Esav someone that he wasn't. He educated them in the wrong way. He tried to put them into a box, the wrong box. And that has catastrophic consequences. So we have to appreciate the uniqueness of each of us, not try to be someone who we're not, but to be authentic and true to who we are. And ultimately, to recognize that in students, and in children, and in grandchildren, and to educate them, and to parent them differently based on that. I get all the time, my children say to me, how come you let him or her get away with that? You never let me get away with that. How come you told me I can't do that, but you let her? The answer is, and they don't like it, but too bad, is that each child is different. Yeah, some things that some child needs maybe a little bit more, a little bit less, the other child doesn't. And you as the parent, that's what you get paid the big bucks for. Right? You get paid the big bucks for not to be able to have the zchus of paying day school education. And you get paid the big bucks to make these decisions and to know your child and to know yourself and to know what exactly each child uniquely needs. And so we saw three ideas in 30 minutes. We saw idea number one was the Aznayim Torah of Zalman Tzoratzkin about why Vayikra Moshe, why did Moshe have to be called? The answer is staying on top of the mountain is a lot harder than climbing it. Kriyas Yamsuf, receiving the Torah, the Eser Makos, those were all easy for Moshe. That was exciting. You know, it's a lot harder, the day-to-day grind of everyday life. We have to learn to find the enthusiasm, the energy, and the inspiration in those moments. Idea number two came from Rav Amital about preparation. The more you put in, the more you get out. Each of us, that's our homework. We're going to embrace and lean in to some of the chaos before Pesach, we're going to find meaning and purpose in the cleaning and in the cooking that we're going to do, even though it's difficult. And even though it's so easy to kvetch about it, we're going to realize that the more we put into Pesach, the more we're going to get out, whether it's our Seder, whether it's our Divrei Torah, whether it's our cleaning. Shabbos is coming. The more we put into Shabbos, the more we are going to get out as well. And lastly, the Divrei Yehoshua, Adam Kiyakriv. Why the word Adam? So Rashi says it's because it's Adam Arishon. Just as Adam Arishon didn't steal, you shouldn't steal. He says, what are we stealing? The answer is don't steal yourself. Don't be a thief. Rob yourself of who you really are and the potential you really have, because we have to be true to ourselves. We have to be authentic. We have to serve Hashem in a way that is true to us, not because we are trying to copy someone else. And with that, I wish everyone a good Shabbos.